Welcome you this afternoon, and we are gathered here to claim the memories which are forever sacred as they are a gift of God. We as the people of God are supported by a faith stronger than death, sustained by a hope of life that extends eternally beyond this particular place on earth. Let's look to the Lord together this afternoon. Lord, help us to see death as is only a shadow. Most of all, help us to trust the shepherd who has experienced and understands all mysteries. Above all, O Father, let the hope founded in our beloved Savior cause to rejoice even now, and when all has been done and said, we are careful to give him the glory and the honor in the beloved name, Christ our Lord. Amen. We'd like to read a chapter of the scripture in the Psalms. Passages they are wonderful. Fred Vitola loves so much. And if you don't have a Bible with you, it's unexpected you have one. You can pick up one right there in the pew, Psalm 27. And our brother Aplica will read the scripture for us. Psalm 27. Will you stand, please, for the reading of God's holy word?
Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not. Neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me by thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Will you please be seated, and blessed is God's word.
There is a scripture the Apostle Paul mentioned one time about himself, and he said, I know a man in Christ. And I can say with a whole heart that I know a man in Christ, and that man, no doubt, it was our great beloved Fred Vitola. And so this song is very proper. I saw Jesus in you.
My Savior's face, I will offer him 10,000 years of praise. When I'll find that special one in whose life I saw God's Son, and with tears of joy, with trembling lips, these words. In you.
We come to a moment of great joy in remembering the one that we have so much of memories of. I just want to mention to you that Fred and the family have agreed that any memorial in his name will be given to Bethel Baptist Church and will be assigned to two missionaries that he support with all his heart and mind, and that's Brother Perez in Benalmadena, Spain, and Martha Ferretti in Argentina. And so all the offerings will be given to them in memory of Fred, who always supported them, even when he was in Nevada. He never short, and he always remembered them. I just want to myself brief you of many things you know if you are a member of Bethel Baptist Church. Our brother made his home in Sparks, Nevada. A man friend of mine, when we finished seminary in 1973, the first part of the seminary, he left for Sparks, Nevada. Sparsa was his name, was the first pastor of the First Baptist Church in Nevada then for about 10 years. And so I was familiar with Sparks, Nevada then. Our wonderful brother Fred was an easy remember in our church because during 7 years he read the Bible right here in the morning worship service. That Bible read went into the airwaves of our radio station that broadcast the service and into the recording of tapes in hands of many, the hundreds of people across America and across the world as we broadcast all over the world. And so Fred is still remembered in New York. Many people, I have heard Al Sunday's sermon, and when I mentioned that Fred went to be with the Lord, they called and they said, the man who read the Bible. That's how people remember Fred Bitola, the man who read the Bible. And so I have to say that in the years that I get to know him, he was a devoted man to learn the Word of God. And then he studied with me in the school, the Family Radio School of the Bible, for over 5 years. I told him, don't worry about how long will take it. It's a two-year program for junior college, but if you put 5 years, you have to work, you do a lot of things. And I think in 4 years and a half, he finished our Associate in Religious Studies degree. And I remember studying with him Greek and Hebrew alone, installing things in the computer, and sharing his kind mind as he was a learner all the time. He wants to know more and wants to know more. But the thing that I remember most is that when I said, Fred, I need to pray, Fred will come here and pray with me in my office. Fred, I have a personal problem and I have to solve this. He will come and listen. And the church in Nevada has written that he was a good listener. Yes, indeed he was. And he listened. And then when he spoke, he was sober and heavy because it was well thought what he has to say. And he was my partner. Here on Wednesday night, I don't think I ever missed a meeting. And when we had Saturday morning prayer meeting for the men, he was there, one of the first who came here. And sometimes he came at 6 o'clock because he got to go to the Safeway store and and go and work over there. I remember when he said when we get close to the holidays, we have to work over. And so he said, I come early. And I said, well, I'll be with you at 6, and then I wait for the other man who come later. It was a joy to have our brother with us and to see the faithfulness of God in his life. I'm very sure that you can say things from the inside, Fred. We don't know. Maybe a member of the family wants to say a few words of some friends who work with him in the Safeway store who are here. Thank you very much for coming and remembering your co-labor. And maybe somebody in the church wants to come and say a few words about Fred that will bring memories. And that's what we will keep forever. Pictures are beautiful, but we change, all right, through the years. But the beauty is what Desiree wrote, that this prince of men, he's going to be remembered for what he was deep inside his heart, a lover, a tender man. And so I open the door for you to come and to bring to our attention things that you want to say. Is anybody here that want to start and say, Pastor, I want to say, you don't have to come here. You can stand where you are, and the place is small enough that we all can hear. And tell us, yes, Russ.
You know, this afternoon I was sitting down here in this pew, and I remembered, that was Fred's seat.
Yeah.
And while we started Sunday school and stuff, Fred was always there, and Laura. And then I thought about It Is Well With My Soul, and it's on the program here. Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful speaking voice Fred had. Wonderful. But his singing voice was like mine. It was and always on the second part of the chorus, when you would say, It Is Well With My Soul, he would come in right after that.
His was better.
Yes. I knew I was going to catch that. Better than mine. But I don't think I'll ever forget Fred singing It Is Well With My Soul.
Amen.
But it's a beautiful man.
Thank you, Russell. You're saying that he was a man who knew where he stand and what he believed. Laura, come in.
He now has a voice better than any of us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You better than him. That is good. That is good. That's what I hope for in heaven, you know. Amen, said my wife. All right. Somebody else want to give an insight on that Fred of ours that now is Fred of the Lord. All right. Some of you working, you know, he loves the people that he worked with. He mentioned all the time. I said, how are you going to go so far away? He said, well, and when he became a manager, regional manager, I said, no, it's not a tedious work, Fred. He said, yeah, but I like to solve problems and to help people. What a heart. What a jewel man, and what a blessing he was for his company. Somebody else want to say something? Come on. Yes, Victor, go ahead.
I just was thinking about Fred and what stands out most in my mind is on Wednesday night prayer meeting, when he prayed, I really enjoyed Fred's prayer because it was always from the heart. And he always had just the gravity of sin in his heart. It was so evident in his prayer. He would pray like Paul, oh, wretched man that I am, you know, who can deliver me from this body of death? And as I was listening to Marilyn and Shelley sing their song about Jesus and me, that's what I remember Fred the most. I think I saw Jesus in him, and he was a truly great example. And I know he's in a lot better place than where we are now, and I'm truly thankful. So thanks, Fred. Thank you for your example.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what he was, a living example of what he believed. All right, somebody else may want to say, even, yes, Brother Blika.
We first came, Mildred and I, to this church, I think about 6 years ago. And when you come into a new church, of course, the preaching is what is probably most on your mind when you're coming into a new church. And the thing was, there are also certain people as you come into a new place that are memorable, or that you remember, or that you think about. And Fred was one of those men. And he was just the easiest fellow to know, and he kind of oozed kindness, I guess, if I can say it that way. He also his prayers were just great prayers, revealed his heart. And one thing I remember is that we had a book called The Vision Valley of Vision, and it was a compilation of Puritan prayers, which are some of the greatest prayers I've ever read. And Fred glommed onto that book, and he read it, I think, over and over again. We used to get emails from him, selections from those Puritan prayers. And so he was a great man of prayer. So I understand what you're saying when he was your prayer partner. He was a prayer warrior.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, my brother. Still in Nevada, and he and I kept, and he kept loyalty to his gift to missions through the time. And he will send me one page with his conditions and what to pray for, and then three pages with prayers that he have read. Then I knew that he was okay, even though perhaps his place. And Raquel, not too long ago, we visited with him here in San Francisco when he was in the hospital there. And I think the second time we went over there and said, "Lord, why?" And I prayed with him, and then he prayed with us. And then we walked, took the elevator, walked in the special place they have for doctors and pastors. And I walked to the car, and Raquel looked at me and said, "We have been blessed by his prayer. We went to bring him comfort and presence, but we got the benefit, as I heard Fred praying for Raquel and for me." All right? I want to give another, just feel free, whatever incident, maybe some good memories that come to you, please. We are like a family. Share it together. Yes, Brother.
Friends, the spiritual value is also extended to a very generous character. And several times we visited Fred Bora up in Sparks, and he took us out to the best restaurant and the best food. And we can always thank him, because every time we needed a cake in the church, Fred would come.
That is true. Yes.
You know, not only was Fred the voice of our prayer, but he was also the voice of the choir. And that wasn't singing. But every time the choir did one of our Easter or Christmas cantatas, Fred was our narrator. And we still have a hard time finding someone who can do the narration, because it's Fred's job. Yeah. But Fred didn't take the book and read the narration that was printed in the book. He would take it and read it and study it and make changes when appropriate. And the cantatas that we have, you know, we get these from publishers, and sometimes those narrations aren't exactly doctrinally the same as what our church believes. But Fred always fixed it to be correct.
Yeah, indeed. He loved the Word of God, and he knew the Word. I think he spent a lot of time reading and so on. All right. And you know, when he started Hebrew, we were sitting in the back table over there. He said, "I have to ask you a few questions." I said, "Well, here's a bakery man. He's going to ask me questions on the grammatical construction of the Hebrew language. Here's a doctor in Semitic language with a bakery man." And it made me cry, because that's the kingdom of God. When you have a keen mind to study God's word, God, the Holy Spirit, will enable you, regardless who you are, enable you to study. And he was so anxious to know. There are so many details in a foreign language that for us who are foreigners in this country, we struggle even to speak in English. Imagine going into Hebrew. But Fred wanted to know. And the key is, his interest was not in the pronunciation and so on, in what this word really said. And that's a keen mind for a Christian, because not only Fred was interested in what the word said, he wanted to obey it, and he was a man who struggled with that. All right, somebody else. Yes?
I'd like to say something. Actually, it's very hard for me to remember things in the past, so I'm going to try. You know, it's very easy to find a church where people are friendly and happy, and at least, you know, on the surface. And when we first came to this church, that we certainly felt that the church members were very friendly and very warm. However, what really had helped me to want to stay at this church was actually a visit from Fred and Laura to our house. And what they did was something very special. Fred had talked about a personal testimony and how he, how God and how Jesus came to his life and how he changed from a certain way of life in the past to the new way of life. And that was very moving for me because, you know, finding a church where people are friendly is easy. Finding a church where people truly have a life-changing experience with God is very, it's really what it's all about. So when he talked about his experience and convictions and, you know, just, I mean, he just kind of poured it out and he was very direct and it was really helpful for me at that time. So I don't even remember when that happened. It just, you know, it was soon after we came to this church.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, my brother Andy. Fred was not a fake, and that's important. If Christianity will be like that, not just coming to church, staying in church and go, but no fake, just be real. And that's what we try to do in our church, to preach and to teach and to have compassion and kindness with people until they click. And they are not longer a fake, they're just believers. And that's what a believer is. It's not so much what doctrine you know, what languages you know, it's how much you live for Christ that makes a difference. So anybody else? Desiree, you want to say something beautiful about your daddy? Come on, read that part, read the part that you wrote here. Come on, at least read this for me. All right.
Hi. Thank you all for coming. On behalf of my family and all of Fred's friends who couldn't be here, I would just like to say we're all touched and honored that you had an opportunity to know our dad, our husband, our father, our husband, our father-in-law, and our grandfather, because I'm talking for a lot of people who aren't here. His sons wanted me to mention that it meant a lot to them that you were all his friends. And he loved each and every one of you and never forgot you. And he always told his kids to go forth and to be the best people that they could be. And whoever that was, he supported us. And I know that he had your love standing and holding him up to believe this. So thank you so much for being here for us and for him, because I know that he's just going forth and he's making a better place for the rest of us. And we'll all be there soon. We'll have cake.
All right. Now to be chocolate cake. All right. All right. Now, Elenita Noriel will sing for us a song that if Fred will have a voice to sing, he will do it. People need the Lord. That would be his favor. So, Elenita, please.
People need the Lord.
Thank you, Lenita, and I'd like just briefly to recall for you the things that were in Fred's mind, his convictions, what did he believe, and what, and why he was an act, a move, and the way he did. Five of them come to my mind, and I go briefly through the scriptures with them with you. The number one that I remember is that he was a believer in prayer. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is going to close a letter to the church of Ephesus, the Greek church. And then he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. When Fred Vitola prayed, you heard the Spirit of God pray. I love that text of the apostle. Not just praying. It's not just saying a few words. Praying in the Spirit. That means you pray with the whole heart. And he had that conviction. Also, another conviction that was remarkable in his life, and he wanted to know more and more, is this, that he believed the Bible was the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, And in verse 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul gave instruction to a young, very young pastor. Very, very young. And he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, by the breath of God, and is profitable, is good for doctrine, that means teaching, for reproof, if you need to make changes, for correction, in case you need a new direction, and for instruction and righteousness. And the apostle said why the Bible is important. The apostle says that the man of God be perfect, truly furnished, truly equipped unto good works. And because Fred knew the Word of God, he was able to realize and pinpoint what a right and what a wrong. That's a big difference for people who only have religion. When I came to America in 1965, I landed in the city of Alameda, California, where the Navy was the headquarters of the Navy for Vietnam War. And one day with my wife, Alameda is a small, very small island. We took the car and we went around and we counted how many churches of different religions are there. And I forgot how many, but there were a big number of churches. My daughter was 2 years old, and I want to do that, and I want to be prepared for when Miriam grew up, and she asked me the question, why so many churches? I need an answer. And I need the answer myself. And the reason is that people base their philosophy and launch out with their criteria. But a Christian church settle for only one thing in common: the Bible. The Bible is the highest, is the Constitution of United States of America. You know the trouble in Iran. I read in the paper that now if they write the Constitution, they have to be at least 2 years in the process. And the reason is they believe an entirely different than you and I believe. I come from a family of Palestinians, and they don't believe in democracy. And so trying to put a constitution will limit the power of the man in power. See that? But believing in the Bible limit your and my ability to believe whatever we want to. We only have to believe what God said. And it's not that the Catholics are right or the Methodists are right. It's God is right. That's the great blessing. Thirdly, he believed that there is only one God. That will offend many people, I assume. But that's what the Bible says. In Isaiah 44 and in verse 6, the prophet said, thus said the Lord. No, Isaiah. Thus said the Lord, the King of Israel, the Redeemer, the Lord. And in any American Bible, they don't know how to translate that word. The word Jehovah, the name of God, I am. When you say Jehovah, you said in Hebrew, I am. The name I am is the name of the Lord. You say, I am the first and I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. I meet people everywhere. Now that I'm no longer in the radio, I have the luxury of having time in coffee shops and sometimes in the Subway store over there in the little coffee shop over there and talking to people. And they tell me, so, well, as long as you believe in God. And I ask them, which God? Well, a God that some people made in their mind, or a God they have learned from childhood. But the Bible said you need to worship and believe in the God of the Bible, Jehovah. And Fred believed that he was the only God. He believed also in a day of accountability. We live today in the world, not only in America, but if you go to Europe, as I had chances to go, you see how terrible the situation is. Because they believe they are not accountable to anybody. The Bible says in Hebrews 9 and in verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die. And we all know that. But the Bible said, after this, the judgment, a day of accountability where we going to stand before God, whether you are Chinese, of European, of American, of African, you're going to stand before God. And the Bible said, if you stand on your own, you're already guilty. And there is one thing in heaven, there is no arrangement out of court. Nobody can work a deal. Either you are guilty or you are not. Finally, he believed in the heavenly life. Some people think it's an illusion, but was not an illusion for Fred, neither for a lady 2,000 years ago. Her brother died in Palestine, and she was crying that Jesus will come in. They were personal friends of Jesus. And finally, he comes in, and he tells her that there will be a great comfort, and Martha was the name of one, and she complained tremendously and said, but why don't you came right now when we call you? Why you delay so much? And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, he shall live. And whosoever live and believeth, never die. And then he makes an impact in the life of this lady, and he said, believest thou this? You believe this stuff? That I am the one that by believing in me, your soul will be resurrected forevermore. You know, there are magazines that some people pass in homes, the Tower magazine. Friday in the breakfast with the man, Brother McCormick, Dr. McCormick was bringing in that magazine, and he said, I want to test you. And he was reading pages after pages, and I was just getting boiled. I had 3 cups of coffee already, boiled in anger of what they said. They said the man get dissolved, that the man have no soul. And from my mind, the verses were coming in. We spoke so loud that somebody from the other place, hey, come down, people, come down. I was really, really hyper. But that's the work of Satan, to lie to you that there is no soul, that there is no day of accountability, that there is no place in heaven. Jesus said, yes, there is. I am the one who can give you the resurrection. May God grant all of us his grace and his mercy, that we too can believe with Fred. And in doing so, as the three said, one day, I don't know if it be tomorrow or whatever that day is, one day we will enjoy together in heaven with him. Let's sing together. Pick up the hymn books, number 256. Let's sing together that beautiful song that was Fred's song. And we sing 256, all the stanzas together. And then after, Pastor will pray. And I invite you, we all invited to have a refreshment that our church has prepared for you right here back from the chapel. Will you stand with me as we sing together Fred's song? It is well with my son.
Oh,
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Fred's life. Thank you for the joy that we have for so many years to be with him and with Laura. And being present with them, we were present with Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. So now, Father, cause us to see the reality of life. Help us to believe that we need a mediator, and help us to point to Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christ, who is the giver of life. May Fred's life be an example of for us, so that we may look on it and see the reality of life in God. Bless us as we return to our places. Be with each one of us, and for those who travel, have mercy as they travel back. May the refreshments be blessed, and may we share this time with Laura and David and Desiree and their family. May these be precious in thy sight. In Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. We're going to ask Laura to come first. And in the trailers, there are prepared tables that you can go and sit down and partake of the food together. All right.